Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with somebody that you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One.
Organizations and softball and sports teams and whatever, we all talk about culture. It can't be a box that you check. It's a garden that you grow. You got to plant it, prepare it, weed it, feed it, water it, protect it. You got to let it grow. And you have to harvest it. And most importantly, you must let it rest. That's culture.
And our guest this week is Bill Relyea. He is the head softball coach at Rosemont College, one of many hats he wears at Rosemont. Been in the gig since early 2020. And Bill, thanks so much for coming in studio.
Hey, my great pleasure. Thank you.
So we were talking a little bit off the air. We are recording this end of the first week of September. What is life like for Rosemont College softball this time of year as the kids have been back for a week and a half, 2 weeks?
Yeah, students moved in the weekend of the 26th of August, and first classes started on the 28th. We start our fall ball workouts around on the 19th of September. So this week is a little bit busy. We do some fundraising and what have you through Aramark down at the link. So we do our training and stuff this week, tomorrow as a matter of fact, and just getting I's dotted and T's crossed and getting ready for the semester and getting into fall ball.
So you took over the softball program January of 2020, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, something pretty big happened 2 months later.
You noticed.
I'm just curious, like, do you feel like you are into a quote-unquote normal rhythm at this point? Are you that far removed from COVID and everything where it's kind of like maybe it would have been in 2019? Or do you still have things because of roster and extra years and stuff like that that there are still remnants of the pandemic as far as the day-to-day?
Okay, so I'm a nurse by trade, 30 years in, my wife and I. So I was in nursing when the HIV and AIDS pandemic was all the thing, right? And it never really goes away. So to move forward now, two decades later, this COVID virus, my wife is still working in the hospitals. I no longer do that. But yeah, it's on the rise again. It's reiterated, it's regenerated, and it becomes more contagious but less dangerous as it makes its iteration. So to that end, from a softball perspective, yes, I think we're moving back towards normalcy. But of course, we are isolated in our little oasis right there on the main line, right? Usually the first couple of weeks is when people experience any type of illnesses because they're around new people and new environments. And then we go from there. But yeah, I think from 30,000 feet, yeah, I think we're into normalcy.
So what is your origin story with softball? How did you first get involved? In general, I don't mean just at Rosemont. I just mean
that. Yeah, like most of us who have children, it was my daughter, my eldest daughter. She played 2003. She was playing some T-ball or something like that. And was matriculating into the next age group. And daddy ball is the bane of my existence. So we ran into our first experience with daddy ball, the rec club commissioners or boards people, whatever. Yeah, no. We can't take those four or five people because we've got a full roster of 15 and we've got role players. And I'm going, at 12? Are you serious? So I jumped back into coaching. I coached for a long, long time prior basketball, and I'd been teaching martial arts since 1984. So I was a competitor well up into my mid-30s. And when my children were born, I got out of coaching. And like I said, it was my daughter, my eldest daughter, who got into T-ball and softball that dragged me back in. But it was a fun ride, and I'm still doing it.
Where were you coaching and teaching martial arts in the first iteration?
My mom and I had a karate studio, taekwondo, in Delaware and in Delaware County. And then I coached for a little while. A very good friend of mine, Joe LaRose, got me into coaching basketball. I was a volunteer coach at Del Tech for a year out of high school. Loved basketball. I played all manner of sports, so it was just fun. One of my best friends was actually playing for Del Tech at the time, so it was easy to be a volunteer assistant at that point. That turned into I was coaching. I helped Bucky Gill at Chi High in his junior varsity program in there. He was the varsity coach. I was working with Del Val, the Biddy League, you know, Chichester basketball, and one of the older brothers of the Evans family. He and I were running mates for a long, long time, Doc and Pooh and Reg, and just the whole family. So, yeah, that's when I started all that.
What was what got you into martial arts? Is that something that started as a kid?
I started when I was 12, and I was slight of stature, and we moved to a scary place called Pennsylvania from Claymont, Delaware. And yeah, my mom and my brother and I, we just got into martial arts, like I said, at about 12. And by the time I was 16, I was at an intermediate level, I think blue belt, red stripe-ish, moving toward black belt. And you start teaching at that point and learning how to transfer knowledge that you've learned. And you never stop learning, of course. By the time I graduated, I had my black belt, my first. I now have five in three different styles. And I was starting to compete nationally. And I was trying to get onto the national team in 88 and 92 while going to nursing school. So it was good fun.
What drew you to martial arts? What do you love about it? Because that's incredibly impressive to have that type of background.
What drew me to martial arts?
Or I should say what kept, like, it's one thing to try, but what do you love about it that allowed you to go to those heights?
I'm a competitor, point blank. Golly, I played all manner of sports. I lettered in three sports in high school. I was a swimmer, baseball, football. In the backyard, we played football, baseball, basketball, street hockey.
Whatever was going on.
Beach volleyball. Yeah. We created our own. We were playing chase. We were whatever. We could kick the can. Good Lord. All those things that you would do before there was organized sports, right? And I'm just – look, Candyland is a full contact sport in my world, right? There's one square and you got two eyeballs. Something's going to give and I'm going to win. It's just the way I've been wired. So it kept me in the game. And I will tell you now, even as a softball coach, everything goes back to the ring for me, to the dojo, to the mat. It's always a fight. It's always the give and take. It's – if I shift this way, do I get a response? And what does that response look like? And where's my opening? And, oh, gosh, here comes trouble, right? And how do I get out of this? And where's the opening and the escape? It taught me a lot, and I'm 40 years in. So you never stop learning. You never stop training.
How does the discipline of martial arts help you in coaching?
I believe – okay, so I'm now a neuropsychologist. So the transition is we understand that through multiple repetitions with intentionality is you develop neuromuscular pathways that become reflexive rather than reactive. So when you train the body, the neuromuscular pathway to respond in such a way, again, at the speed of reflex, and I'm talking nanoseconds, this is when you hear the elite athletes start to talk about, well, the game just kind of slows down. And this is why. I don't have to think about my mechanics anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't have to think about how to – whether it's a fight, you know, am I kicking, am I grappling, am I punching, parry, trap, you know, arm bars, what have you, choke holds. It doesn't matter. Same thing on the softball diamond. I no longer have to think about how to track the ball, how to make a drop step, how to scoot to the ball to my glove side or to my backhand side, long hops, short hops. What's the pitching count, right? What's the pitcher going to throw next? What's the most likely pitch I'm going to get? And what do I need to do with it, right? Do I have runners in scoring position? Do I need to get on base? You know, all these things play into the element that is competition at any level and on any sport. I just loved it. I'd love the game within the game.
Did you always, well, you talked about coaching, like even growing up, did you figure you were going to coach something somewhere at some point?
You know, it's an interesting question. I'm outward in my spiritual walk. I'll paraphrase, but I'll refer you to Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. And that is, in paraphrase, when he ascended, he gave gifts to man to the measure of his grace. Yeah, Matt, I think I was always meant to do this. I'm a teacher. I'm an educator. I've always been the coach. I've always, even on the field or on the, I never played soccer, but football field, baseball field, volleyball, I'm the guy who's always talking and thinking defense and how we're going to rotate and cover and what have you. So, yeah, I've always been this.
It's fascinating. We've only talked for 8 or 9 minutes, and we've already delved into so many different aspects of your life, career,
yeah,
interest.
I'm a unicorn.
like do you find, are you a person that is easily bored and you always need that next challenge?
So in my psychology work, I have found multiple assessment tools, psychometric assessment tools, and the one that I use most in my practice was developed by Colin Adam and Rob Barnes out of South Africa, and it is Ania International's five-lens development tool, and it incorporates work from Carl Jung, Maslow, Richard Barrett, Peter Senge, and most importantly, oh, Karen Horney is in there, but the Enneagram, and there's nine behavioral patterns in this model of behavior. And I'm sorry, that's long-winded, but the point is we have access to all of these different nine patterns, but yes, the one that shows up for me at the highest propensity is in the area that we would call the enthusiast. Yeah, is it adult ADD? I don't know. But I don't sit still. I'm a drummer, and I love it when my hands and feet are going, and I sing while I drum and play on the kit. So, like, yeah, I've always been that kid who people are like, oh, you're so anxious. Can't you sit still? No, I really can't. No, I got to keep moving. And you know what's funny? My wife's happy place is the beach, right? She can sit and bake for hours. Mm-hmm. Now, when I was younger, before my spine injuries, I would love to frolic. I would play in the water, beach, volleyball, football, paddleball. Now it's what? Cornhole, whatever. Cornhole and golf now that I'm in my 50s. But the point is, I cannot sit still. It's literally purgatory for me to just sit still and do nothing. There are times where I want quiet, but those are on my terms. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm just wired this way.
How long did it take you to become comfortable with yourself always needing that next thing?
I don't know that I was ever uncomfortable.
Okay.
People around me, I felt people around me found my idiosyncrasies disconcerting, right? Because they wanted me to conform.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me to do something and I don't want to do it, you got a battle on your hands. You tell me not to do something and I want to do it, you got a battle on your hands. Again, we're just back to this is how I was wired. Now, your previous question about discipline. Yeah, I've incorporated discipline. I have control. But yeah, everything in moderation, right? Even moderation.
When did you start to really look at softball coaching? Because you talk, you know, your daughter, you get involved. When did you start to look at it as something that was going to take up a significant amount of your time? It was going to be more than just coaching your daughter's team? Like, was there a moment, or was it just kind of the progression of this opportunity led to this opportunity, and then I got a phone call, and then we tried this, and next thing you know, I'm running a Division III program on the main line?
I think it's all of those things. My transition from nursing was precipitated by a trio of spine injuries. So at the time of the first one, I was working in neuroanesthesia downtown at Penn. And ironically, I ended up on my own table. I got hit head on, had an anterior cervical discectomy infusion, took a section of my hip, stuck it in my neck, plate and some screws. And I got rear-ended 10 months later. So I lost my job because I wasn't eligible for a second FMLA inside of a rolling 12-month cycle. So we were pregnant with our second child, and I went immediately back to a nursing home in Delaware County run by the state, which is where I met my wife some 5 years prior. And I'd been there just a year and a month, perhaps, and I was helping a gentleman, a World War II vet who was dear to me, and he was in a shower chair and the chair folded up underneath him, and he was end stages of MS, couldn't even scratch his own nose, hurtling towards the tile floor, and I reached and I caught him and I blew out my lower spine. So that ensued a very lengthy workers' comp litigation, and I had to make transition. I went back to school. I was finishing up my bachelor's degree because I was pursuing becoming a nurse anesthetist. And I had to put all that on hold because of the workers' comp case. Couldn't go to school and do that stuff because I certainly couldn't do it on the job either. And then the length of the case drew out so far that by the time I was ready physically to return to school after I had the third surgery, all of my sciences were now outdated by 20 years. And I was like going to have to start over. I was like, oh hell no. So I made transition that way. I went and got a real estate license, and this is 2005-ish, 2006-ish. The market starts to shift. All of that stuff caves in, so I'm redirected again. I'm now back to school to get a bachelor's degree. I try my hat at law school. I'm working as a nurse paralegal and a legal nurse consultant. Did a year of Widener Law. Hated it. I'm like, I just can't find my people. And then I found industrial organizational psychology and everything that I'm now doing today. Along the way, I was working still coaching. I was giving hitting lessons. I was teaching catchers how to catch and just all this other stuff, making ends meet. For heaven's sake, I was driving limousines again like I did when I was, you know, first in college and anywhere that I could just make ends meet. But always around a game, basketball, softball, what have you. And so I was coaching a tournament team here in Delaware County, and my daughter was on 16s or 18s at this point, so I was coaching 12s and 14s because I recognized that daddy ball is not a good thing, right? She needs to grow and develop, and I need to be able to just be dad. And so the segue was this tournament team was renting space in Widener's Fieldhouse, and unbeknownst to me, even though I had been a student at Widener and in fact had graduated, I was an adult student when I was there, so I never met Fred. But Fred's lurking in the corner, right? Because he's supervising all
Fred
this.
Fred Dorman, who was a longtime head softball coach
Fred
at Widener.
Fred Dorman. I call him the chief. He's got this picture of this American buffalo on his he had on his desk at the time, and the buffalo's name was Chief. So I always referred to Fred as Chief just because of his affinity for this animal, and he got me into ornithology, and we were hiking and all this other stuff. But anyway, that's a whole different segue. He's watching me with this group of 14-year-old kids, and, well, he pulls me aside, and he says, you know what? I don't know if these 14-year-olds are ever going to understand what you're talking about, centripetal and centrifugal force and how that works. He said, in fact, I had to look it up myself. He says, but I tell you what, I think my college team is just going to get a hoot out of you, right? So come see me Monday and let's talk. I've got an opening. I thought I hit the lottery. I'm going to coach college softball, blah, blah. I went in Monday and we talked. You've met Fred.
Mm-hmm.
So he is loquacious. He can go on for hours. I'm no different. But so the two of us in a room, it was like, before we knew it, 2 hours were gone. And he says, look, I got to go teach classes. I got to go to work. he said, but you're hired. I'm like, great. What's my salary? He says, oh, you can wear all the T-shirts I can put on you, and you get to eat all the cheeseburgers you want to buy. So I was a volunteer assistant coach for a year.
I want to put a pin in that.
Yeah, sure.
The spine surgeries and the spine situation, given your personality, recovering from something like that is difficult under the best of circumstances. Given how you're wired, I would imagine there was a lot of bed rest, there was a lot of... need to be still? No?
No, the neck surgery, in fact, there was very little rehab of the neck itself. I did physical therapy. Gosh, I forget his first name, but I think it was Bernstein, physical therapist. He recommended me for an article actually in physical therapy journal based on my work ethic in the gym. And I'm not tooting my horn. It's, again, as I said to you, it's just how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. It's 110 or it's nothing. And that's how I was. I'd been a gym rat for most of my life. So at this point, there was no alternative. No does not exist in my world. It's not right now. It's not this way. It's not yet. But no does not exist for me. So I was bound and determined. I had kids. I wasn't going to watch them live their life from the couch. Oh, no. No. I was going to be part of their life. And now when we get together with friends, my wife will chide. Kids didn't need toys. They had Billy. So, but I was just – I knew that from the time we were going to have children that they were going to know that they were loved, that they were cared for, that I was going to be part of their life. And so that was my mindset. I mean, there was never a question, Matt. It was just, okay, how do we get back up in the saddle?
We need to take a break. We will have more with Bill Relyea right after this. This is One-on-One.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
And we are back on One-on-One, continuing our conversation with Rosemont College head softball coach Bill Relyea.
So you start at Widener. Is coaching at the college level, does it take an adjustment? You know, because you're dealing with older kids, you're dealing with more mature kids that are much further along in softball development. Like, what was it like that first year kind of getting your feet wet at that level?
Well, there were multiple things. It's not in my nature to not speak up. I'm outspoken. However, I took a cue from Fred, and that was sit back, observe, take all this in. They're going to have to get to know you. And one of the things that we talked about, and Fred's a history buff, and he would quote Teddy Roosevelt, "They don't care about what you know until they know you care." And that has rooted in my heart and in my mind. And I look, I live heart forward, and not on my sleeve, Matt. It's a jacket, mm-hmm. right? I'm in your face with energy and with emotion. And what I would come to discover is, if you subscribe to the theory of hemispheres, I'm right brain dominant, which means I have access to all of this emotion. I'm not scared. It doesn't frighten me. Something like statistically 75% of the female population is right brain dominant, and 60% of the male population is left brain dominant, which is why we have the Venus and Mars mm-hmm. effect, right? This is why men typically are freaked out by emotion. Anyway, I sat back. I got to know these young people, and it's important to understand that even though they are technically adults, again, as a neuropsychologist speaking, that frontal lobe doesn't reach maturation until mid-20s. So we're still working out our perception. We're still working out our self-identity. We're still working out, how am I going to process these events, these sequences, this stuff that I just don't understand. So I took all that and I ran with it, and I collected. And again, true to my nature as a psychologist, observing human behavior. I wouldn't say that I can fix it, but I observe it. These young women were so dedicated. They wanted to win so badly, and yet they didn't know how. And then we had another coach that would say, hey, make an adjustment. But we wouldn't talk about what adjustment to make, nor would we practice it. And that was one of the things that I took away. And so after my first year, this was 2013, spring of 2013 concluded, and we did not make the playoffs at Widener. And Fred and I spent a lot of time in the summer walking, and again, he introduced me to ornithology and all this stuff. And I started asking questions. Hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what do you think about that? Hey, what's your opinion on this, and what's your opinion on that? I started making suggestions. He was very receptive to ideas and concepts, and we started making changes. And it was evident because I was now into my graduate work. I started my master's degree work in 2013, and I started diving into this notion of culture. If we want to be champions, we have to give them the foundation and the bedrock. And it's not about the winning. It's actually about how are you going to handle the failure. And you have to provide enough latitude for people to learn from failure. We started lifting again. I said, hey, how come we don't lift? He's like, you know what? We used to do that a lot, and we got away from it. We started lifting, and they bought in. And that's the important part, yeah. Right? Leadership and followership has a reciprocal relationship. Now Fred's the benevolent dictator, of course, but hey, we're going to lift, and we're going to be there with you. So we were up at 5:30, and we were in the weight room at 6 a.m., and the softball team was there at 6 a.m. We started lifting, and before you know it, other teams joined us and started lifting the same time. Now we're competing for gym time at 6 in the morning. And then what happens after that? You start winning. Mm-hmm. You're stronger. You're less susceptible to injury. You have a more cohesive chemistry because you've been working together toward a goal collectively and over time. So 2014, we make playoffs. Quick exit. 2015, now we're championship game. Heartbreaking loss. 2016, championship game. Another heartbreaking loss. 2017, we win the doggone thing and we go off to regionals. That was a hoot in Cortland, New York. And then 18, we had a bit of a drop off and came down to the last game of the season, conference play, and I'm sitting on my bucket because I'm keeping the book. And this young lady comes up, senior catcher, big stick, and we got an open base. And I'm sitting there going, we should walk her. Oh, we should walk her. Oh, we should walk her. Because the kid behind her is like 0 for 5 on the day. I didn't get off my bucket. I sat there and watched it. I don't think the ball has come down yet. And we lost by a run. That stuck with me. So anyway, 19, we make our way back to the championship game. We're playing Arcadia. And we it rained the entire weekend. So I think it was a one-game championship, and they beat us by a run. It was a really nice battle. And anyway, following year, I got the call at Rosemont. Leadership, culture. They bought in, Matt. I say this all the time, even to my recruits today. I was just in Sacramento this weekend on a recruiting trip again. And I say this. Organizations and softball and sports teams and whatever, we all talk about culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been accused of overthinking a lot of things. So if that's the case here, you know, just chalk it up to repetition. It can't be a box that you check. It's a garden that you grow. You got to plant it, prepare it, weed it, feed it, water it, protect it. You got to let it grow, and you have to harvest it. And most importantly, you must let it rest. That's culture. And I tell everyone that comes into my world, I'm selective and protective of who I bring into my world, my culture, my softball world. And number two, you're going to be the gardener. My job is to win. And my job is to recruit your replacement, and you're going to help me do it. And you're going to be part of something that's much bigger than yourself. And Matt, at the end of the day, after I'm 20 years into this now, right? 12 years of college ball, but 20 years into coaching softball at this point. And it rings true for me today as it did on day one. It's all about the people. Leadership requires followership, and they buy in. And what this group at Rosemont has done is no different than the run that we had at Widener from 15 to 19. This group of young women, they are remarkable. Remarkable. My wife asks repeatedly, let me get this straight. You got a PhD to go coach softball? I'm like, you have no idea. I use it every minute of every day, right? But I love what I do. Right, it's metaphor, movie, cliche, I don't know. I do not work a day in my life. I just love everything about what I do.
Do you love to win or hate to lose more?
I hate to lose. I hate to lose. Yeah, Brad Pitt, Moneyball, right? There's a difference. I hate losing. Yeah, you can't talk to me. It used to be you couldn't talk to me for days. Now that I've with some discipline and some wisdom in life, right? Okay, it's part of the game. Again, practice what I preach. What are we going to learn from this? Failure. We went to regionals last year for the first time in Rosemont softball program history. The takeaway from my captains and the leadership was astounding. When I got there in 2020 and then the pandemic, and we can come back to that, but I told them then, you don't know that you can compete at higher levels. I inherited a program that had an intramural mindset.
Mm-hmm. Just something to do.
Yeah. Oh, you used to play softball? Oh, come on out.
Yeah.
I'm not disparaging anyone that was there, honestly. But you needed a shift in mindset if you want to compete, right? Because what we do is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard. And even at the D3 level, it's intense. So anyway, I got on the ground day one. We're going to go to the championship. Might take us a couple of years, but we're going to get there, and I'm going to show you how. My captains, Annalisa Yoder, Emily Bingman, Danny Sharp, and now Olivia Hom, Jr., they said after we were eliminated from regionals, we can compete here. We went toe-to-toe with Barry out of Georgia, number two team in the nation at the time. I think they were runners-up for the WCW last year. They were white-knuckling it for five innings. Who the hell is Rosemont? Where did they come from, right? It's a 1-1 game or a 2-2 game. I forget what it was in the moment. But at the end of that experience, these young women said, we can do this. Now we know we can work harder. I don't have to lift a finger. Right. There's a Jason Aldean song that says, you got to whip the horses you can't fence in. Yeah, let them run, man. Let them run. I'm so stoked. I've got goosebumps talking about it. I love this cast. I just love these kids.
So when you make the jump from Widener to take over at Rosemont.
Yeah.
Was that something that you felt you were ready for the challenge, or did the opportunity present itself
interested? I had been ready for a couple of years, and even Fred had said that. He's like, because you know what happens, right? You go from assistant to now you rise up to the level of the leadership around you, and although iron sharpens iron, what that actually means is, yeah, we're starting to butt heads, right? I'm starting to ask questions, and I'm starting to say, I would do this differently, and whatever. Always, always, always respectfully and in private conversation. But yeah, he's like, all right, you're ready. You got to get out of my hair. He doesn't have any hair. You got to get out of my hair. And then opportunity came up that it was open, and it was Fred that said, you've got to apply for this. I'm like, yeah, but I'm comfortable. I'm teaching this and I'm teaching that and I'm working on that and I'm working on this. And, you know, we're going to go back and no, you got to go. It's time. So all credit to Fred Dorman, certainly praise to God for the opportunity. And Joe Pavlo and Ashley Hodges, Dr. Ashley Hodges, they rolled the dice. They gave me a shot. And I am forever grateful because we've turned this thing around. We've turned this program around. And now the new president, Jim Cawley, he's doing great, great things for Rosemont College. And softball team, the soccer team, the lacrosse team, we've all had recent success. We're all building momentum. So it's a fun place to be. It's like Friday Night Lights. Anytime a team is competing, it's great fun. This little engine that could.
How, I don't know if satisfying is the word, but you've got so many unique experiences and you're so open to so many things. How often in a day are you pulling from your nursing background? Are you pulling from the martial arts background? Are you pulling from the psychology? Like, I would imagine you've just got this array of knowledge that you have put together over your lifetime, not career, your lifetime. And it's this unique mix. And like, what is it like to be able to pull from these things and not have them be guesses, but like, this is going to work, or I can do this?
I work hard at gratitude, being grateful. There was a period in my life after those injuries that I was on the verge of losing many things, a house, a marriage, profession. You know, I was really, if you will, in the wilderness. And it was my walk, my spiritual walk, my faith that allowed me to persevere. It was my life experiences that taught me. And in no small measure, all of my experiences in sport is – as I said, no does not exist in my world, okay? Neither does curling up in a fetal position. It just wasn't an answer. No, don't tell me I can't do something. Yeah, let's go get it. And I persevered, and I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. Matt, I did not do this by myself. Fred introduced me to some of the most amazing people. Kathy Veroni, Hall of Famer. Lou Harris Champer, will be Hall of Famer, two-time Division I champion. Rhonda Ravel, the list just, Dot Richardson, just the list goes on and on. Locally, you got Frank Ehrenfeld at Pensbury, who's become a good friend. These people imparted wisdom from their life and their experience, and I took it in. So I can't sit here or stand here and say that this was all Bill Relier. It wasn't. There were people who were at a stage in their life and experience and or are wired in this way, right? If you tap into spiral dynamics and the laws of attraction and all this stuff, they just give of themselves and it comes back. And every one of them is selfless and have been. Even locally, Kim Wilson, she's inducted into the NFCA Hall of Fame this year. Even she has been a mentor to me. And we haven't beaten them yet, but we're working on it.
Head coach at Rowan.
Yeah. You know, I mean, she's been wonderful. All of these people in my life have been wonderful. Even in the martial arts world, those the people that were leaders and mentors to me, instructors and so on and so forth, and I don't need to drop names, but they were wonderful. They gave, I took in. And so to answer your question, in every one of those areas, whether it's martial arts, whether it's softball, or whether it's my psychology, I'm an applied psychologist. I put this stuff into action. It's where the rubber meets the road. Otherwise, the grand theories just don't mean anything. It's just some, you know, pile high and deep. I'm fortunate. I'm blessed. Can I say that? I'm blessed. Uh-huh. I could have been paralyzed. I'm not. Here I am, man. I'm doing what I love doing. I have autonomy in my world, which is so important to me. And I bring people into my world that are willing participants. Every year I get to start a new team, make a new run at this. And the reward for me is, again, what sport teaches us about life and how I can draw those parallels. And again, even in the business world, as an IO psychologist, it's about how do you grow culture in your organization. And it always, always comes back to people and values. Each individual has their own value system, but what we're going to live by collectively makes all the difference. That's where success is. And I'm a collaborative approach to that too. You've got to be – if you're going to be a leader, you've got to be willing to listen. You've got to hear hard truths. You've got to hear fears. You've got to hear all the stuff that goes into being a leader. And allow people to do what they're good at. Surround yourself by great people. And I have done that. And people have brought me into their fold to do that. So yeah, again, succinctly, I'm blessed.
You take over at Rosemont, and everything is complicated, obviously, by the pandemic. But you talked about how it was kind of an intramural mindset. Do you remember the first moment when you felt like the program had really started to turn in the direction you wanted it to be? Like I said, that first few months there, everything's got to be Zooms and phone right. calls, and it's tough. But was there a tangible moment when the smile breaks out on your face because you realize that garden has started to grow?
Sure, it's yin and yang, and it was 2021. I brought in 17 new players, and I said to the cast that was there, we're going to broaden our numbers. At Division III, the focus is on academics. And what that means to the softball coach or to any coach at Division III is that and I believe, so we'll put an asterisk on that, this is my opinion, this is my experience, is that you need to carry a larger roster. In the softball world in particular, at Division III, we don't typically get dominant pitching like you see at Division I, mm-hmm. right? Because organizations can throw financial support at those players, incentives. So my approach is different. So I carry 4 to 6 pitchers, and I plan to use 3 in a game. I might have a closer, I might have a middle, I might have a starter. And no one role is definitive or permanent, right? It's flexible. Practice resilience. Let's mm-hmm. be flexible and practice resilience, right? And that is my mantra. Ask my kids. This is about we, not me. Check your ego at the door. I will get you in the game, even if it's as a pinch runner. I will get you in the game. And if you don't like where you are in the prioritization of this, in the hierarchy, do something about it. You got a skill set that you haven't tapped into? Share it. So to your question, 2021, I brought 17 young women in, 5 transfers, Washington, 3 from Colorado, another one from Maryland, if I'm not mistaken, and then some local talent as well. And we made the playoffs for the first time in program history. That's where you could see the plant sprouting. Mm-hmm. So we were the number 5 seed in 2021, and we get bounced. A team that we had dominated just a week and a half earlier. We can't hit the ball. We can't catch the ball. We throw it around. And it's inexperience, right? The lights are brighter. Mm-hmm. Stage is bigger. So it was, again, the yin and the yang, or in the theater world, you've got the happy face and the crying face. I think that was Shakespeare, but whatever. And then 2022, we made the conference championship. And again, rain shortened. And I think that there was some strategery in the way that the field was addressed. And anyway, I won't go into conspiracies. But and then we made it back there again last year. And we got the berth to the regional playoffs. And yeah, that's when I knew last year, when we were back for the second time in a year or in succession. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a mature garden now. And we went from 2 players making all conference to 7, including the conference player of the year. Again, Annalisa Yoder will go down in the program history as the greatest ever. She's the GOAT. She's on top of every offensive category statistically. And right behind her, or right on top of her in the stats, is Emily Bingman, 4-year all-conference player, 3-year captain. Annalisa earned all-regional team when we were in Texas. And then Danny Sharp, again, 3-year captain, made all-conference as the pitcher. Lauren Begg was the player of the year. She was number 3 in the nation in stolen bases and number 5 in the nation in hits. She had 79 hits, and she had, I think, 38 or 40 stolen bases by herself. And we had the number five team in the nation in stolen bases, 138 stolen bases. Remarkable. Olivia Hamm, Kylie Kubicek, one of my Colorado kids, all earned all conference, all seven of them. And I learned 3 weeks before we went to conference that four of them still had eligibility and wanted to return. Matt, that's the testimony right there. Those people graduated and decided, I'm going to use this eligibility and I'm going to take on a graduate degree or certificate while I'm doing it. And they wanted to come back because they felt like they had unfinished business. I can't make this up. This is a movie script. I can't make it up.
How satisfying is it when the program starts to take on that life of its own where it's the kids that are saying, no, we're not done. This was great, but what's next? And we're coming back. And like that, because you can't, that is a ripple effect of what you've put in place. That is not you specifically, I think. That is the garden you've grown, the culture you have developed, and the kids wanting that as a reaction to that.
Satisfaction. I think it needs to be tempered. And that was my message last week when we got together in the fall. And we've brought another large group in. And I've got three coming in the spring, too. So all told, I will have 12 people coming back to the existing 11 mm-hmm. that I had, right? And so I said to the young people coming in, and I pointed them out, and not to make example of them, but to say that this, again, this is we, not me. Because this woman here is not going to give up her playing time readily. She's worked too hard for too long, right? But my commitment to you, newbie, right, freshie, is I'm going to put the best team on the field, and you are going to have an opportunity to bring your talents to this. And at the end of the day, again, I'm going to go back to scripture, and that is iron sharpens iron. These young women want you to be better than they were, and that's a rare thing. It is, I guess if you look at in the Buddhist, it's called mudita, the genuine appreciation of someone else's success. How many of us are actually able to live in that space? Our ego usually says, oh, why can't I get mine? I want that. These young women are grasping and walking with this understanding. If that person pushes me, I'm that much better. And if I impart wisdom unto them, they're that much better. And we increase our chances of success in wins and losses. And I remind them continuously, you will never lose a game under my watch. Never. Because I take responsibility for that. I didn't put the right lineup out there. I didn't make the right adjustments. I didn't prepare us. You will take all of the W's because you're playing the game. You put in the sacrifice. You put in the work. You earn the W's. The satisfaction, again, that needs to be tempered is what we did last year. This is a new year. This is a new cast. Some are wiser. Some are still developing. Others are making transition from, again, that tournament ball world. Hey, you're going to play the first three innings and you're going to play the next three innings and we're going to be done in an hour and 20. That's not college softball. So there's some transition to be made there, and there will be growing pains and there will be stumbles and fumbles. Yeah. Again, we're going to build the sandbox so that there's room for you to fall down and learn how to get up. And that's the important part. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to cast you aside. If you make a mistake today, it doesn't mean I'm not going to start you tomorrow or put you in the game tomorrow, whatever. We're all working on this together. And that's the satisfaction. Satisfaction in what we achieved. Yeah, I'll look back at that and say, hey, man, we had a great run. But on a daily basis, it's about who's putting in the work, who's growing, who's developing. Who can we raise up as new leaders? Who's starting to really own their craft and come into their own as an adult? You know what's even more satisfying than the W's is I've got a team GPA between 3.56 and 3.63. That's satisfying. When you got a team of 20 people, 25 people, and you got a team GPA of that magnitude, they get it done in the classroom and on the diamond. That's the satisfaction.
Bill Relier, this was incredible fun. Thanks so much for coming in.
God bless you. Thank you, Matt.
And that will do it for this week's episode. Want to thank Bill Relyea for taking time out of his schedule to come in studio for this chat. Now, if you like the show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. It would really help us out. You can follow the show on Twitter at @OneOnOnePod. You can follow me on Twitter as well at @MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next week when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.